This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettillo along with Charlie Long in studio. And we have on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. It's been a little while since we got to speak to him, but Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, also a former Nicholls State Colonel, and we'll ask him about the Colonels as LSU plays them tomorrow night. Scott, great to have you back on with us, brother. It's baseball season, man.
Yep, greatest time of the year. Now I just need some warm weather to show up and some sunshine. We'd be really ready to rock and roll.
Well, I hope you ain't waiting for that anytime soon, because next couple of days, it don't look that way, Scott. It looked like we in for another little bit of a cold spell. Scott, as a pitcher, and watching what happened Sunday with Chase Shores and not pitching, it basically was 2 years. Going through that surgery that he had the elbow injury in March of 2023, and then I think the surgery was maybe in April of that year. And then to watch what he did, the thing, it wasn't so much who he went up against, but it was his control and his ability, man, to hit the strike zone. That, to me, was really impressive for a guy who hasn't pitched in 2 years, give or take a couple weeks. Your thoughts as a former Major League Baseball pitcher to come back from that type injury and to have that type control?
Well, I tell you, the first part, which is the hardest, that when you don't do something that you love for 2 years in a competitive nature like that, a lot of times you go out, you're overexcited, you're overpumped up, you just do things sometimes that's out of your norm, and you struggle with the strike zone. And I'll be honest, he went out there cool as a cucumber, you know, got up there pumping his fastball for a strike. You know, as a freshman, you know, his knock was, his slider's just okay. You know, I mean, is it going to be serviceable? Is it going to be good enough to get SEC hitters out? He went out there, threw a slider for a strike. You know what I mean? So he was very impressive. Obviously, he's a big dude, 6'7", you know, kind of has that three-quarter arm slot, but he filled it up, and, you know, he came out blasting 70, 97, 98, and you could tell he missed being on that bump. You know, I could tell he was excited to be out there, and his head was perfect. He went out there, and he did exactly what he did. You know, that first inning, he hooked that one little first and third run, which was kind of a little, you know, whatever it is, what it is. I think they knew they were going to score 12 that day probably, and they gave up that one run. But obviously, he probably wanted to put up a bunch of zeros. But he got that first one out the way, and then after that, he settled in and mowed him down.
Cade Anderson, the Friday evening pitcher, 5 innings, shutout ball, 8 strikeouts. And so we had Coach Johnson on the Thursday before the Friday game, and, you know, he spoke glowingly of Chase Shores and also of Cade Anderson. But your thoughts on, I know you were really high on Cade Anderson throughout his career at LSU. You really spoke up well about him. Your thoughts on his first outing this year?
Well, obviously, he's really – I've always been high on him. Obviously, he's a lefty with really good pitching moxie. But, you know, last year he was mainly fastball, curveball. He tried to play around, I think, with a slider, but it didn't really do much for him. His changeup doesn't – he has a changeup that doesn't probably use it enough, in my opinion. But I tell you what, he has – in this offseason, and I don't know if he's played summer ball. If he did, probably was very minimal because of the innings he pitched. But – he's really honed in, learned a slider, a useful slider, but he's also added a little cut fastball to go along with it. So you're looking at a guy now, you know, he's draft eligible, you know, and because some people say, why is he pitching Friday nights? I'm like, because Jay Johnson knows this is his last rodeo with this guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's going to be a high draft pick. With, you know, a lefty throwing 92 to 95 with three other pitches to go with his fastball. You know, he's the guy that he goes out there and he just, you know, he didn't translate last year really into SEC play. Weekdays, he literally blew teams away. Punched out 16 against Southeastern, punched out like 12 or 13 against Nichols. You know, and you put him on the weekends and people are like, well, why did he struggle? Why did he struggle on weekends? I said, because his body, his routine was midweek to pitch. You know, now all of a sudden you're cutting him off 2 days early, trying to throw him in on a Saturday or Sunday. For an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid, that's not easy to do. And he struggled. He did struggle in SEC, but at the end, really came around, had some good innings in the SEC tournament and in the regionals. But he's taken that and correlated it into being, I'll be honest, I thought he was going to be a Sunday starter this year, and Ironson would be the Friday night guy. You know, with just because of his you know, as much college baseball as he's played. But obviously, Jay thinks a ton of this kid. And I'll be honest, I talked to a bunch of scouts, and they think highly of him as well.
So, Scott, I want to throw some names at you. A lot of new faces on this team, also in the pitching staff. But four freshmen got some run over the weekend. William Schmidt, Kaysen Evans, Maverick Rizzi, and Cooper Williams. And how did they perform? Oh, just through 6 2/3 innings pitched, allowed one hit, no walks, 12 strikeouts. A very talented group of freshmen that have already seen the mound in Alec Box Stadium. Just want to get your early thoughts on those four.
Yeah, well, obviously they were all throwing 95 plus up to 98, 90, I think some even 99. So obviously velocity, absolutely incredible for kids who are 18, 19 years old. I think, Evans came out coming from Texas. I think a lot of people thought highly of him, but obviously what he did was very impressive. But the one to talk about, to be honest, is Schmidt from Catholic High. As good as this pitcher staff is, as much talent as this is, that kid is uber talented, and honestly, he's still heads above everybody else, above Shores, above Anderson, above Ironson. His stuff is absolutely electric. I think he does have some maturing to do. I think that's the only reason why he's probably not going to pitch on the weekends this year as a starter. I think, you know, he's a young kid. You know, if you talk to the teammates, they say he's just a happy-go-lucky, kind of a goofy kid. But when I tell you stuff-wise, as good as any freshman stepped on into LSU probably since Aaron Nola, or i.e. Ben McDonald, you know, he's that type of stuff. He does it easy. He repeats it. He's 6'4 and a half, maybe 6, you know, 6'5-ish, tall, thin, slim, but with a beautiful, clean arm swing. And I tell you, that's the one to watch. I mean, because I'll be honest, if he had some maturity on him, he's going to be as good as any Friday night starting SEC talent-wise.
Whoa, that's some strong words. A little bit about their opponent tomorrow in Nichols State. I talked to Coach Herring. He was like, Mike, I got a whole new team, almost like name tags, okay? I know who you are now. But, man, the Colonels have went through a big transition. Losing Jacob Meyer certainly was a big loss, to losing him to LSU. I'll get you to talk a little bit about Jacob. But, man, the Colonels, you talk about a redo. That's a total redo is what Brent Herring's got on his hands at Nichols State.
Yeah, Brent done a really good job because, I mean, number one, I think they had 17 seniors, or i.e. seniors or guys out of eligibility. Then they lost another probably 6 to 8 to the transfer portal. So literally, I think we stepped on campus when he got the job. I think he had 9 players on his roster. So obviously we know you need 9 players just to play. And obviously some of those 9 players, a couple of them are pitchers. So he literally had to get in the portal and get with some buddies and just rack up some players. And he did a really good job. Obviously, I think he would like to have taken over a team with a little, you know, a little talent coming back, but he didn't. But I tell you, he's done a great job. And I'll be honest, I went down to the first pitch bank when I looked around, I'm like, I don't know like 40s kids at all. You know what I mean? So I didn't hardly recognize any of them, you know. So he's got his hands full. You know, one thing I do know about Brent, he's a salt of earth, one of the greatest men you ever meet in your life. He's got the kids believing. I talked to a bunch of the kids, and they're like, obviously he's not Mike Silva. Him and Mike Silva are two different people.
Oh, totally.
Totally different, you know, but I tell you what he does. He's got those kids believe in him. They know the direction they're heading. They know they have their hands full. You know, the Southland Conference is going to be tough again this year. Obviously, all of his midway games, you play teams in the state of Louisiana. There's not many passes in the state of Louisiana anymore. So he knows he has his hands full. But I know for a fact that he's gonna have those kids out there fighting.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Scott, Daniel Dickinson, and I remember when LSU got the commitment from him, and people were, man, they were texting in, Utah Valley? What? I mean, why are we getting a guy from a bigger school? You saw real quick, I can swing a bat. And, you know, over the weekend, 556, 5 of 9, hits a double, a home run, and gets 7 RBIs. I think Jay Johnson knows a little bit about talent. That's why he signed Daniel Dickinson. Utah Valley or not?
Yeah, at the end of the day, baseball talent is baseball talent. Sometimes guys, i.e. myself, I mean, people say, well, how did you play at LSU? Well, at the time coming out of high school, I wasn't good enough to play at LSU. 2 years later, I was, right? But I stayed at Nichols. You know, and that's a perfect example, you know, of a kid like Daniel Dickinson. You know, number one, he's a baseball player. Obviously, he's got a good swing. His bats, and it stays in the zone a long time. You know, the one thing I am interested to see, you know, obviously he hasn't faced the gauntlet of SEC. So I'm hoping as time builds, you know, some of the guys you see now are throwing 84, 86, touching 90. That's kind of a lot what you saw at Utah Valley. So I'm hoping as, you know, as he gets an SEC play, well, obviously he's been facing a lot of inner squads with LSU, so he's seen some velocity, you know. But I really want to see – I think he's going to step up, and he's going to be one of the key cogs this year for LSU because, obviously, Tommy White's gone. You know, obviously Dylan Cruz has been gone for a couple of years, but a lot of the power is gone. So somebody's got to step up and be that 15 to 18. You know, Jock Jober is another name. And I think Dickinson can be that guy to protect Barrett Jones. So somebody's got to protect Barrett Jones so they don't just walk him 3 out of 4 at-bats. And so hopefully he can drive in some runs. He doesn't have to hit 25 home runs, but if he can hit 12 to 15 home runs and maybe 25, 30 doubles, he's going to be a perfect guy to sit right behind Barrett Jones in that lineup.
So, Scott, we talked a little bit about a couple new faces on the mound. I want to bring up a couple new faces in the lineup. And I'm going to start with the freshman Derek Curiel. Off to a great start to his collegiate career, 7 of 14 in his first 4 games played, 6 RBI already in this season. I know that Daniel Dickinson's already got 9, so he's got him beat there. But just a really strong start for Curiel, who was another very highly touted freshman. You brought up, you know, William Schmidt on the mound, but you know, in the lineup with Derek Curiel, I think D1 had him as the preseason freshman of the year in the SEC. So that shows how high they were on him. And he's off to a great start.
Yeah, so Curiel is what I would call a pro's pro. I mean, I watched that kid probably 10 at-bats this weekend. And if I wouldn't have known he was a freshman, I'd have thought he was a four-year senior, you know, with 4 years of college experience on his belt. Like, he steps into the box against a lefty and takes at-bats against lefties that 18-year-old kids don't take. You know, he's a kid, once again, I talked to a bunch of scouts about him, and they're like, you know, he's not a blazing speedster, but he's fast on the baseball field. You know what I mean? His arm is not super super, like, super duper over the top, but he makes every throw. You know what I mean? He knows how to play the game of baseball. He knows how to put quality at bats every time up. If you ever notice, Jay Johnson always puts his best hitter in the two spot almost every year. And when I saw this kid hitting two hole, I was like, wow, Jay thinks a lot of this kid, because he doesn't just put anybody in the two hole, you know, i.e. he had Dylan Cruz in the two hole most of his last year, until I think he moved to the leadoff towards the end when they made that run. But yeah, so Kiriel was just a pro's pro. And I tell you, he reminds me of kind of a Daniel Cabrera when Daniel Cabrera came in as a freshman, jumped right in. But obviously I think he's even more talented than Daniel Cabrera. But he's going to be a kid that's going to make LSU fans, like, fall in love with him, because he plays the game right, he plays the game smart, and he knows the game of baseball.
Go ahead, Mike.
Last question for you, Scott. You brought up Jared Jones, and I remember last year early on, man, it was either a strikeout or it was a home run. There was not much in between. But I remember you kind of bringing this up when we were doing the shows, that you see the progression in him. He was a little bit better at kind of spraying the ball around. He was a little bit more patient with his swing. And I'm interested to see his development this year. Now, he's going to see a lot of walks. I mean, there are going to be some pitchers, they're not going to want to pitch to him. But your thoughts on Jared Jones? It was a guy that I think maybe some people thought he wouldn't return.
He's already walked five times this year, Mike.
Times already this year, he's walked. So you can see, man, there is a little bit of fear that he's put in him. But he has become a better overall hitter.
Scott, they're not throwing any fastballs near the zone against Jared Jones early on.
Well, probably not, and I don't blame him. So the one thing I tell people when they ask about Jared Jones, I tell them, I said, Bear came to LSU as a swinger. Yep. He was a swinger, right? He swung hard in case he hit it. And that's what a lot of young players do. And I give probably a lot of credit to Dylan Cruz, him watching Dylan Cruz, him watching Tommy White, right? Sometimes the best teachers are not your coaches in your dugout. Sometimes your best teachers are the best players on the team, and you watch – you know, because Tommy White, for as many home runs as he hit and as many, you know, things, he was a hitter. But Tommy White probably started off at some point in his career as a swinger. You know what I mean? But, it's you know, it's zone recognition. Barry Jones, finally, after many, many – and he was lucky to play a lot as a freshman. You know, he played probably half the games. Then as a sophomore, he played a ton, you know. But as his strike zone awareness now is so much better. And he understands that, okay, guys aren't going to always just throw me cookies down the middle anymore, because I can hit the ball 600 feet. You know, but he's turned himself into what I would consider a pro hitter, because now he knows strike zone. He's not just swinging. He's not swinging. You don't see him swinging as sliders that bounce in the left-handed batter's box anymore, which he did as a freshman, you know, because he says, no matter what's coming, I'm swinging like it's a fastball. And if it's spun, he missed it by 2 feet. But he doesn't do that anymore. You know, and obviously I was there the other day, and he hit a ball off the middle of the scoreboard. And I was like, holy moly. There's not many people walking this earth that can hit. Number one, they just can't even hit the scoreboard. But to hit it almost three-quarters of the way up, that's what he did. And a buddy of mine was at the game. He said, you think he can play pro ball? I was like, yes, because I said, you know how many people walking this earth can actually hit that scoreboard right there? Not off of 80, and it was an 85-mile-an-hour fastball, which means he probably had to generate 75% of the power, or maybe 57% of the power. When somebody's throwing 95, you just have to create some of the power and let the velocity. But he created literally 75% of that power, which is absolutely amazing for, you know what I mean. But he's a hitter, and I tell you, every at bat he gets better and better. And like I said, he learned from two great ones in Cruz and Tommy White.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us, man. Always great to hear your voice and tremendous insights, and we appreciate it, and we'll be talking real soon.
Thanks, Scott.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Have a great evening.
All right, you too, Scott. Scotty Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Now, man, he's always got them peeping eyes on the LSU Tiger baseball team.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.